The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is March 20th, 2015, and we are sponsored by U.S. Wellness Meats. That's my buddy John Wood, www.grasslandfed.com. I'm sorry about that, John. Best grass-fed meat out there. I tell you, go out and look at his site. It is exceptional, very easy to navigate through, and John carries everything. So that's www.grasslandbeef.com. And we're also sponsored by my chiropractor, Saugerties Chiropractic. That is in Saugerties, New York, and that's about an hour from my house. So Mark is a hell of a guy. I've been going to him for 10 years. He loves working on athletes. That's one of his major things he does. He works soft tissue. He's got a drop table. He's got the deep tissue laser. He does the pulse electromagnetic frequency, which I'm doing a lot of now. Give him a call. Right now they're working on the website. So he's 845-246-5020. Obviously, this is in the New York area. I live in upstate New York. He is worth the trip. He is excellent. And then got another big thing too coming. I've got a webinar coming out next week, and it's called Becoming a Champion, and you can go to www.motivationandmuscle.com. That's Wednesday. It's free. We're going to talk all about the launch of our brand new weight loss product. I'm very proud of it. It really talks to the men and women that got to work for a living and don't have a lot of equipment or don't have the money to join a gym. What I've put down here, other than a barbell, you can pretty much do right at your own house. And another nice thing about it, your kids can all get involved with it. So it's like the working man, working woman, best way to lose weight. And we've got the proof in the pudding, and we'd love to help you out. So today, we've got another first-time guest on the show. This gentleman I've known for a while here. I've done business with him. He's an excellent man, and he is a resource. Dr. William Wong, he is with us today, and we're going to talk about systemic enzymes and testosterone, two of the things that I love to talk about. Now, Dr. Wong, for any of us who don't know him in my audience, he's an ND, PhD. His company is docsprefer.com. He is an author, writer. He's got a podcast show because I listen to his podcast whenever he had stuff up. Obviously, he's a supplement designer. And he is the man that is behind systemic enzymes. I've heard him for years preach the power of them, and I've taken them for years. So, Dr. Wong, welcome to Motivation and Muscle, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on board. It's taken us a good while to be able to connect together, and I am so happy to be on your show.
And I'm happy to have you, and like I told you off air, and I'm not putting you on the spot, but we'd love to have you on anytime. You'd love to come on because you are a wealth of resource, and you get your point across, and you're not a PC guy, and that's pretty much what we are too because we're not out to bother anybody or hurt anybody, but a lot of stuff we don't like what's going on, especially what's being done to men, and we that's our big thing, and we spread it through women too. We want success for everybody, the young kids coming up. You know, we want to teach them there's other ways to be great and how to be a good man and woman. So, Doc, why don't you tell everybody out in my neck of the woods, give everybody a little bit about you that, you know, is not familiar with you.
Oh, gosh, let's see. I've been at this crazy game of naturopathic now for 34 years. Along with that, I've been a certified athletic trainer. I'm an exercise physiologist. I'm a 47 actually year martial artist. Mm-hmm. I've got seats in the Sports Medicine Hall of Fame and the World Martial Arts Hall of Fame. And I've done an awful lot with an awful lot of things. I started in the Iron Game way back in 1967. And, you know, my heroes back then were Larry Scott and Sergio Oliva. And
yep.
Ken Patera and Vasily Alexiev. Just, they were the prominent men in both bodybuilding and weightlifting at the time. And, you know, I've always been torn. Because I wanted to be as strong as Ken Patera, who could shoulder press 400 and chain.
Yep.
But I wanted to look like Larry Scott and Sergio Oliva. So it was a heck of a time.
Well, you know, not to interrupt you, but you're going to like this. We were little kids, and there was a club here called the Steel Pier, but they were bought out. This club was huge. In fact, I had the luxury when they went down the tubes, I bought a ton of their equipment. That was the hardest core stuff you saw. So who shows up but Sergio? They had a big thing that he was coming around visiting places. I don't know what they paid. And this had to be in the late 80s. And, probably was, I don't remember, 87. I mean, I think we were just starting to, like, drive or we'd be driving a few years. So we belonged to this gym, and this was a club that had 3,000 people in it, members. It was insane. And Sergio Oliva comes in. My God, man. I remember him saying that he wasn't in good shape because he felt he was smooth. I think at the time, Doc, he weighed, I think he said he was like 268. I mean, he was enormous, man. I mean, I'd never seen a human being like this. And, you know, for the people who don't know Sergio, he was from Cuba and he was an Olympic lifter. And this guy was the real deal. And I think he got ripped off a lot in the Olympias anyways. Yeah. But I think Arnold may have been just a better pose or whatever. But if you and he had this tiny waist, but you have to see this guy to believe him. You talk about thick and dense and just big, man. And he still had the heavy accent even then. And I'll tell you what, he was incredible. So I can understand. I mean, you got four guys there that made their mark in the field of physical culture like nobody, you know?
Exactly. You know, I've got a Sergio story. Way back in 1971, I was a contestant in the WBBG, that's Dan Lurie's, Teenage Mr. America. As a matter of fact, I have the honor of having been defeated by Louis Ferrigno.
Holy cow!
And that was 1971. So, Sergio was doing a posing exhibition at that contest, because it was also Mr. America, Mr. World.
Yep.
And, you know, I got to rub elbows with all the folks that I used to idolize. But seeing Sergio backstage, one of his thighs was thicker than his waist. His waist was about 29 and a half inches. His thighs were 30, 32. His calves were proportional. But the one Sergio pose that everyone remembers is a double overhead arm pose.
Oh, yeah, and I remember
that. You know, anyone who puts their arms overhead, your arms look like toothpicks. Think of how huge your arms have to be in order to look big in that double overhead arm pose.
Oh, yeah. And he had traps on him like mountains, too.
Gosh,
you know,
yes.
I mean, you think about and Ken Patera, I mean, that guy, too, it's too bad, you know, I don't know what his deal was. He bombed out so many times, and it was like, that's a guy, too, that definitely could have competed, you know, because I always liked watching those old things. They'd have them on Wide World of Sports, and it'd be like through ESPN. I don't ever see any of it anymore, but I can remember I caught, like, Serge Redding. Oh, my God, man. That dude was a monster from Belgium, and it was like he'd always have Alexia like by a pound or two, and then Alexia come back and beat him. I was like, damn, man. You know, it was like, you know what it is? There's a lot of great athletes now, especially Olympic lifting. Unfortunately, they don't play the damn stuff till 3 o'clock in the morning, if you're even lucky to see it then.
Right.
There's some great guys out there, but, I mean, granted, I was – I wasn't even around yet when those guys were really starting out. But, you know, maybe it's just because now I'm an adult and I watch it. To me, it just seems a lot better. You know, they had the press then. It's pretty raw. I mean, these guys were like, you know, you didn't have bumper plates bouncing all over. They're usually using York or some type of steel plate. I think I kind of enjoy that era much better, Dr. Wong.
Well, you know, if you take a look now, take a look at the Olympic lifting game. There are no Americans there anymore. Hardly any Russians. It's all the it's the red Chinese, the Koreans, some of the folks from the Middle East. What the hell has happened to America that we don't have enough testosterone to build lifters the likes of Ken Patera?
No, and I agree with you totally. You know what? You're seeing right now, and we'll get into the systematic end, but this all kind of intertwines what I'm sure we're going to be talking about. I can't speak for you, but I've listened to you enough and talked to you to know. You see, look, I'm not a big NFL guy at all. I don't care for the shenanigans now. I just don't enjoy it. I don't watch I can honestly say if I watched 20 minutes of football this year, it was only because I was flipping through. And it might have been like the Green Bay Packers because I like Aaron Rodgers as far as a quarterback. Okay, that all said and done. They're doing the same damn thing to football, too. They're trying to feminize that whole sport and drain that of what tea it's got in it. Because if you see now the concussion baloney, and I'm not saying it's not there, right? But there's a group of people out there that don't want men to be rugged warriors. They want to take that and flush it. And no one's standing up to anybody anymore. It's like, okay, you know what really pisses me off? Look. I've had breast cancer in my family, all right? I support people to help anyway. I don't like men wearing pink on the field. I'm sorry. I don't. I don't think that, and you know, while they say it's for a good cause, I understand that. But you know what? Even my mom said to me one night, she goes, you know something? I'm really tired of women having to be included in every single thing with men now. That's coming from a woman that's been around 60-plus years, okay? So, you know, I don't like, a lot of people don't look underneath what's happening here piece by piece, and men and women are supposed to be different. That's the way the anatomy is. That's why you love women, okay? I don't want someone that's like me. I don't want it. So, you know, I think the testosterone thing is they feel that, you know, you see Obama, he just signed. I mean, if you want to take pro-hormones, I'm sure you can still find them, but they're doing everything to basically deball men,
exactly.
In my opinion.
On that breast cancer campaign, do you think it would ever go the other way? Would women wear blue for testicular or prostate cancer? I mean, as many men die of prostate cancer as there are women dying of breast cancer. Will it ever go the other way? And the answer is no. You'll never see women marching for prostate cancer. You'll never see women collecting money for prostate cancer. You'll never see the politically correct feminazis go out. And you know, give the other way. Everything is in their direction, and that's all they want. And yes, it is a defeminization thing. Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You know, the defeminization thing started, and I believe it was done on purpose by Monsanto when they invented soy formula back in 1973.
Yes.
Every bottle of soy formula has the equivalent of 3 to 5 birth control pills. Sometimes, depending on the brand, 3 to 8 birth control pills worth of formula. Okay, that's bad enough for a girl. Okay, she's probably going to hit her menstrual cycle when she's 6 or 8 years old. But a boy has as much testosterone from age 6 months to 3 years as an 18-year-old man does. What happens when you pour in 4 to 6 bottles of 3 to 5 birth control pills worth of estrogen into that boy every single day?
Yep. He's basically a girl, because I think I read it on some of your stuff, and I've read other things that they found that young men in their 70s or in the 1970s, a lot of their genitalia didn't develop properly.
Right.
And we know where that is, obviously, between your legs. And they were very feminized. You know, we have a joke here, what we say. It's like, if you're a male and say, you know, you're doing what I like to do, you know, you're going to Iceland, you're raising hell, you know, it sounds like you're committing murder, basically, when you're training. They'd rather have you wearing your sister's jeans and lipstick than going out and being, a wild man like that, because they don't want that. They don't, you know, there's certain people out there that don't want men to be men. They want, and let's face it, the world power wants docile men. They don't want men that can fight or, you know, stick up for themselves. It's like, hey, you know what? Take it between the slats and like it. And if you don't, too bad. Well, that's what it is.
Exactly. Now, let's put two things together here. You've got the feminization of men because it's easier for governments to control bitchy, whiny ass, limp-wristed guys than it is to control real hearty, nasty ass, opinionated, liberty-loving individual men. Also, you get the combination of cutting the balls off of team sports. In team sports like football, the reason I can't stand team sports is because there's one guy who thinks and everyone else is a freaking ant.
Yep. Follow me.
Right. You know, in weightlifting, in judo, in martial arts, shooting, fencing, any of the other individual sports you can think of, the athlete has to think or they can't perform. Mm-hmm. You've got to think through your routine. You've got to learn the motor patterns. You've got to get the skills down. You've got to get the conditioning down. You've got to do everything. But in football, the only people who think of the quarterback and the defensive backs, that's it.
Yep.
Everyone that's else it. Is just there like a freaking automaton. And you do what you're told, and you don't put too much thought into nothing. And you get entire generations of men like that. We're now going on, what, three since 1970?
Oh, yeah. Easily.
And God, that's when you get all these metrosexuals.
Oh, yeah.
All these B-males. These beta males who well, I can go with a girl, I can go with a boy, it's okay. But you mean you don't have a biological imperative for one or the other? You don't have a built-in drive? Because if you don't have that built-in drive, you ain't a guy.
Yep. No, you know, and not only that, it's just like I can't myself personally, you know, I don't want to be around that. And in, another thing, too, is I have a lot of nieces ranging from 13 down to 7, and my brother-in-law is a football coach, and he played semi and all that, and he's a big guy like me, and it's like one thing I'm, and even with my little nephew, they see strong men around them, and I'm not pushing any of my stuff on them, all right, but they've been around me, and they know what it is to be around a strong man, and I think that's very pertinent now, because hopefully those girls don't go out and make any of those mistakes. They're going to make mistakes in their life, but they're going to understand what a good man is, a strong man is, a man that knows how to talk to you and treat you with respect. And these are things a lot of women don't have anymore. And, you know, it's just like, you know, you meet a lot of late 30s, 40-year-olds, okay? They can't understand why they can't get a man or hold on to one. So you know what they end up doing? They go out and buy shoes all the time. That's what it is now. You know what I mean? So it's like, all I can say is this. I like being a man. I'm proud of being a man. And it doesn't, you know, from being martial arts, weights, all that, same way with me, you don't have to go out and put your shit out at anybody. If you're confident, you can just set the example. And you know what? If you get out in the concrete jungle, as I say, and something comes your way, well, hopefully you're prepared for it and you can take care of your woman or take care of just you, or if there's somebody in trouble, you can help them out. That's always what I've had pride in, Doc. It's like, you know, like we always say, look at somebody's neck when they're coming at you. That's usually the first thing you're going to see unless they're gargantuanly big and muscular. I always pick up the neck first because you can tell an athlete or somebody that's got some power. And it's like, if you see a neck like that, you should be real careful planning on an attack mode. You know what I mean? And then secondly, I'm a big guy about hands, too.
Yep.
Hands tell you a lot, too. I mean, you see these guys. Think about those guys that there's still manual labor out there, even though they poo-poo all that now, too. You look at a guy that's, you know, running a shovel or running heavy equipment or turning wrenches. I mean, their fingers are usually twice the size of an average man. So that's where I'll leave it. But, exactly. You know,
let me touch on two trends that have been noticed by the sociologists.
Okay.
The first trend was a study done in England.
Yep.
From the 70s through, let's say, the mid-90s, women wanted men who were understanding, who were nice, who were sweet, who were kind. and they married those guys. Well, it turned out to be a disaster because those guys can't build nests.
Yeah.
So
yep.
Now the women have turned to guys, and the first thing they look at, you mentioned hands, the first thing they look at are the hands. The
yep.
hands look like the hands of a nest builder, like the hands of someone who could build their home, protect their yep. children, and provide for them. That's okay. Now, the second trend has been happening just since the late 2000s, where all these women's lib-type feminazi girls are all of a sudden going in for this werewolf, a vampire, mystique kind of bad boy.
Yep.
So they're going from the beta males to the super alpha males who are going to hurt them and abuse them. They're completely skipping the really nice guys who won't beat the crap out of them.
Yep.
They're going
yep.
straight from the limp wrist, no dick guys
yep.
to the guys who are hyper abusive males.
Yep.
Not stopping in the middle. And so they're going from one extreme to the other.
Yep. Yep. It's a funny world. That's all I can tell you. You know what I mean? It's like, this is, you know, I don't know. I look at hormones with people, and, you know, and I know we're going to talk about testosterone, but I can't figure some women. You know, they're all right for a little while, and it's like they just crack up on you, man. And it's like, what the hell's going on? You know, I would stick around sometimes and see if you could work it out. I'm out of there beating feet quicker
than
you.
That's actually a function
you know.
Of the estrogen. You will hear
yep.
about 50%
yep.
of the guys on the planet who are married to women who are going through menopause. They will tell
yep.
you that their wives went nuts.
Yeah.
Two women OBGYNs in England did a study
yep.
on what they used to call female hysteria, which is menopause.
Yeah.
And they discovered, oddly enough, they were trying to show that it was bad, but they actually showed that it was good. Back 100 years ago, men used to commit their wives for a year or two to an insane asylum while they went through menopause, and
yeah.
then they'd pull them out, and they'd live happily ever after.
Yeah.
These two gals started out trying to show how bad that was, and by the end of the study, 2 years later, agreed
yeah.
that it was the thing to do.
Well, tell me this, then why are the younger ones all cracking up, too?
Too much estrogen. Again, they don't have enough progesterone. They don't have enough
yep.
testosterone to level
nope.
the estrogen out. It takes 200 to 300 units of progesterone to level
yep.
one unit of estrogen. So think of all the foods we have with flax and soy
yep.
And all the beans and all the vegetarian gals out there. Every bean, every seed, every pod, and every pea is a mini uterus and is therefore estrogenic. So you get all these bean eaters and all these seed eaters, which is a
yep.
source of protein for vegetarians.
And people who are trying to eat healthy.
And they get this overload of estrogen, and it drives them absolutely wonky.
Yeah, yeah. And you can't be around people like that because you want to throw them out a window, you know what I mean?
I know.
And I know
folks who will ask their wives, honey, have you used your progesterone cream today?
No, they haven't. Why'd you say?
Honey, I hope you don't play with weapons or I'm going to be a dead man, you know, like that.
Maybe you're sitting alone today, dear.
Yeah, well, you know something, and it's funny because, you know, I don't buy a lot of stuff at the regular store, obviously. But I've seen things in even health food stores. You got to read all the labels because it will say contains soy, and it's not... You know, I love how they say, well, it's soybean oil. I don't give a shit. It's still soy.
You know,
it's like...
Soybean oil is actually a more concentrated form of estrogen than soybeans or soy
yeah,
meal or tofu. But what really gets me is all these guys pushing the flax products made out of grains.
Yeah. Yep.
The omegas from fish are all right, but they're pushing all the omegas made out of grains. And you'll notice they all have lists. And none of those men have wives or permanent girlfriends.
No,
not a one of them anywhere.
And you know something? Even if they wanted to, they couldn't even perform. They're done. They're out the door. You know, I don't care if a girl wants to only screw around a few times. I mean, if you can't do the duty, you're not going to last. You know, it's funny how everybody wants sensitivity, but a lot of people like raw animalistic things, too. That's what we are. I mean, that's the way it is. And It's funny how, you know, I kind of understand more now, but we seem to deny all the things that we were in the past, you know, whether you want to call hunter-gatherer, or you're out stone lifting, and they were stone lifting hundreds and hundreds of years ago. You know, you had communities that were built around things like that. That's why I liked Iceland so much when you went to where the stone was. That little community, what was left of it, was still there, right down to the steepled one-room church. I can relate to all those things because, you know, when I went there, it's almost like the bell went off. It was like, I know I haven't probably been here before, but maybe I've been somewhere like this, and it feels right to me. You know, it's like a lot of the stuff that I'm walking around now in doesn't feel right to me at all. Yeah. And your body is wise. It knows things. And if your line of communication is clear to your head and all those neurons that are all over you, you can kind of figure things out. There's places, you know, I'll give you, for instance, I don't want to give them any advertising, but Whole Foods, all right? Now, we got a co-op here. You know, co-ops are co-ops. You got a mix of everything. I don't care. I try to go in, get my stuff, goodbye. I'm out of there. But you go in those other places, and, you know, everybody's an expert, and everybody in there thinks that they just found the billion-dollar pot of gold.
Right, exactly.
And it makes me kind of laugh, Doc, because, you know, my brothers and I have been doing this stuff for a long time, long before it was in vogue. We started, you know, reading about this as teenagers. A good friend of us, a guy that became very good friend of ours, owned a health food store I think he opened up in the late 60s. But we learned an awful lot from Craig. He was a great weightlifter. He was a good mentor and all that. So we kind of had a little jump. Now, am I glad that a lot of this stuff has come full circle in a lot of ways? Yes, but it's also like a double-edged sword, because now you're just going to see more and more like Wall Street types buying more and more stuff up. The quality is going to go down, and I can tell you, I'm not going to name the place. I'll tell you offline. You probably know anyways. I did a funny thing one day there, and I really pissed the guy off. I said, could you tell me if any of your meat contains soy? And, you know, obviously they're talking there, you know, natural, as they call it, grass-fed, blah, 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 blah. I got to check. Now, there's a lot of people around me, and this guy's giving me a look. I said, look, I'm allergic to it. If I eat it, I'll die. Well, you say that to them, they're like, back up now, right? So get this. All the stuff that's advertised, even some of the grass-fed, was using soy, okay?
Wow.
The only stuff that they had, and I looked at the writing, it was all written up. The only stuff that did not have soy in it was grass-fed, grass-finished. That was it. The rest of the stuff had that crap in it. And I'm like, here you are paying, let's say, $35 for a tiny medallion, all right, a filet. And the whole damn thing's got soy in it. And I'm like, holy God, here you are thinking that you're getting away from this stuff. And you're getting polluted just like the regular stuff.
You know, it's all the hidden sources of all the things that are trying to kill us. That the powers that be, and here I go being a tin-hatted conspiracy theorist, that the powers that be are sneaking into things in order to change our hormones, which in turn will change our behavior.
Yep.
We've been doing it since the 50s. It got worse in the 60s. It's in your face now. They don't even bother try to hide.
No. You know what it is? It's like, we know what's right for you. You take it or leave it. And if you don't, you know, eventually, if they keep screwing with the food sources where they're doing stuff, you know, it'll be just eventually, you know, take what we give you, you know, or you're dead. This is why I've noticed around here in upstate New York, and even downstate, I don't know how they're doing it, but, and I'm glad, more and more of the small farms. We have one down here called Hawthorne Valley, which if you like raw milk, you can get raw milk there. But the state screwed with them a number of times. Obviously now, about an hour away, they can't bring it up to the co-op. They can sell their yogurt, which is raw, okay? But we can't have raw milk, all right? And another thing, and then we'll get right to this, the enzymes. Another thing I want to tell people, and I'm sure you know this very well, is buy as much glass as you can. If they got products in glass, it might cost you a little bit for the deposit, but get the hell away from those polys that are in plastic, all right? Dangerous. I mean, you wouldn't even think about it. Would you think about there's stuff in the plastic that you're drinking out of? Hell no. But you tell me, how many people do you meet every day that don't have a damn bottle of water in their hand?
Just about everyone's got a bottle of water in their hands.
Yeah. Now tell me about that. What is that? Shit water probably from their sink, okay? And they're drinking this stuff like it's goddamn jet fuel, man.
You know,
it blows my mind to see people with plastic bottles. If it's not plastic bottles, they're goddamn texting every second of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
The texting is a psych thing. Trying to stay connected constantly is a psych thing. Having millions of friends on a social network is a psych thing, and I'm convinced that there's a lot of hypnosis involved with it. Can't prove it, but I'm convinced that between all the flashing lights and the repetitive motions and the this and that, there's a programming involved there. But I live in a town in Texas that's got the best water in America. It's called Crazy Water.
Oh, really? Okay.
The water is chock full of magnesium, chock full of lithium. It doesn't smell like sulfur, so it doesn't have that sulfury taste that most folks associate with mineral water.
Okay.
It's got a lot of other brain building and brain helping minerals in it.
Ooh.
And I can't imagine buying water from a company owned by PepsiCo that just pulled it out of the Central Park Lake Reservoir in New York, bottled it, put a little bit of fizz in it, and called it some sort of a health water.
Yeah, and charges you $350 for a bottle.
Exactly.
Yeah, when I was in Iceland, that water was insane. That Icelandic water, holy cow, man, that stuff was great.
Think of what that water has gone through to get up out of the ground.
Yep.
Think of all the volcanic minerals it picked up along the way, and think of all those minerals going to enrich your body.
Absolutely. And that's the main thing. You know, most of us are mineral deficient because everything that's grown in this country, the soil is destroyed right now, and they're not doing anything to replenish it properly. So you're going to basically get empty food.
Exactly.
You know, and this is the thing. And you know, Doc, this is one of the reasons why this podcast show and with people like you and others on here, and you know why, you know, I pushed so hard to finally we get together here. It's like, I mean, there's some, you know, I've heard you on Mike's show, you know, you've got your own podcast, things of that nature. But, you know, my whole goal is to get a million listeners to this show. I don't say that lightly. I know people are probably like, haha, yeah, right. I got news for you. Yes, it's going to happen because we got to get this stuff out here, man. It's like, not only the training, but the food, the supplementation that works. Because what fun is it living broken down? And you become, you know, okay, I got a doctor's appointment tomorrow, next day. I tell you what, I'll be honest with you, being very lucky, I've been very healthy. I would rather probably blow the back of my head out. I'm not made like this. I told you off air, I got a little tweak right now. It's driving me insane. Yeah. It slowed me down. Everything, you know, it's like I'm not a good patient. I've never been, and I'm not a patient man with things either, which is not a good thing either. But, you know, when it comes to you, you care about not everybody does, but I know you do, and I do, and a lot of the listeners, you care about yourself so much that you only want the best for yourself, and you're always striving to get better. I don't think that's a gene any of us can ever shut down.
No. And the powers that be may try to dampen it down, or they may try to make it so that we can't take care of ourselves, but we will always find a way. And then they'll come by and try to close down our backyard gardens and tell us that our chickens are making too much noise and waking up the neighborhood and whatever else.
Yep, which, definitely.
To which Texas boys have an answer.
I know what it is. So, well, I think down the road with what you're seeing going on, it's happening all over the country. I don't know what the end game's going to be, but you know what? I look at things right now. I think you got to be a student. You got to kind of understand what's going on. You don't want to get absorbed in this every day because it'll drive you mentally insane. But if you take care of yourself physically, eat a very well-rounded diet, you know, with what you can afford, and keep your mind nice and clean, I think that you could be a survivor of a lot of things that could happen.
It's Exactly.
You know, and that's what I truly believe. All right, well, let's get into systemic enzymes. I mean, you know, I've heard you on other shows. I've taken yours for years. First of all, for anybody who doesn't know what systemic enzymes, would you be kind enough to explain that, please?
Sure. A systemic enzyme is a proteolytic enzyme that has a body-wide action. The four or five enzymes that we make and the various different proteolytic protein-eating enzymes that we can ingest first have their action throughout the body. An enzyme is a biocatalyst, something that makes other things work. Without enzymes, it would take you about a half an hour to bend your elbow, about 15 minutes to bat your eyelid, because the enzymes cause a speed up in chemical reactions. The enzymes that we make or that we eat turn into about 25 to 30,000 different enzymes, having somewhere in the range of 30,000 different enzymatic reactions in the body. Without those enzymes, we would be stone cold dead. You know, we can tell when a person is about to die by taking a reading of their catecholamines and seeing where their dopamine is. If we don't see any dopamine, we know that that person is within 3 to 4 days of dying. The same thing with enzymes. We make a finite amount of enzymes in a lifetime. Once we use them all up, excuse me, then we're within 3 to 4 days of dying, because all of our metabolic processes, all of our physiological processes, would slow down to the point where we could not move.
When, like, obviously when we were younger, what do we need? Do we start? Is there an age where we're starting to tail down with enzymes? And okay, so at that point, obviously you've got to take some type of supplementation, correct?
Right. You know.
Okay.
We learned from I forget who the name of the big time physiologist. What is either DeVries, Cureton, or whatever, that old age begins at 27.
Wow.
So, think of when you were young, yep, and you cut your finger. Mm-hmm. Within 2-3 days, you couldn't tell where the cut had been. It
right.
healed with an invisible, flexible, beautiful patch. Fingerprint went back. Everything was perfect. Now you got older. You cut your finger. It takes longer to heal. It's a big, hard knot for a while. Mm-hmm. And then it might not completely heal without a keloid, without a scar tissue blister on it. The difference between when you were a kid and now are the enzymes. Excuse
yep.
me. We use half of our enzyme production from age 1 through age 25, so that by the time we hit 27, our body begins to dole out the enzymes with an eyedropper instead of with a tablespoon.
Mm-hmm.
And between 27 and 35, we can see. Pull out pictures of yourself at 27, 25. Pull out pictures
yeah.
of yourself at 35, and you'll see you've had the most precipitous drop in your physical conditioning, in what you look like, and in your health. And from 35 on, all of your old injuries begin to revisit you, and you get all these owies you thought that you'd walked off years and years and years before.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that you shook off and, yeah, coach, I can still play.
Yeah, yep.
They all come back to revisit you after 35, and the reason for that is you're not making as many enzymes. Enzymes have five different primary actions. They are anti-inflammatory. They eat. They don't keep your body from making pro-inflammatory cytokines. They eat pro-inflammatory cytokines. Then the enzymes keep you from making too much scar tissue to repair wounds, and they keep scar tissue from accumulating in you. The older you get, and the more estrogen dominant we become, the more estrogen builds scar tissue inside of our internal organs, restricting our lungs, shrinking our kidneys, clogging up our arteries.
Yep.
It's all an estrogenic process. So the scar tissue begins to sap away at our ability to move, at our ability to fully expand our lungs, to get a whole bunch of blood into our heart, to filter through the kidneys very well. The enzymes will go in and they will lyse away, they will begin to eat away excesses of fibrin and fibrinogen found in the body to clear the body of scar tissue. For example, with the glomerular sclerosis, with kidney fibrosis patients, the enzymes actually improve urinary output, blood urea nitrogen, and creatine levels by eating away at the fibrosis that's in the kidneys, not all of it, but a good bit of it, which improves kidney function and helps a kidney patient stave off failure and death.
Yeah.
With the lungs, let's say a kid was a chronic asthmatic or had a lot of bronchitis, the enzymes will eat away at the scar tissue that restricts expansion of the lungs. And you can actually see this on x-ray pre and post. You can also see the difference in SaO2 readings and in vital capacity readings when you do pulmonology work. So the enzymes help us to clear away scar tissue. They also, in eating away at fibrin and fibrosis, help to make our blood flow better. Because as we get older, we have a lot more necrotic debris that our blood's trying to get rid of, all the dead cells and whatever else, that we don't filter through our liver quite as efficiently once we get older. But we also have a buildup of fibrin and fibrinogen and adhesion molecules in the blood, and all that serves to make our blood as thick as ketchup. You know, blood is just supposed to be just a little bit thinner than water. Just a little bit thicker than water. But most people's blood is as thick as ketchup. Some folks out there have blood almost as thick as yogurt, and they're the ones who are most likely going to suffer from ischemic strokes and from heart attacks due to blood clots, because their blood platelets will stick together to the adhesion molecules, bind on to the fibrin, and it will cause a clot.
Doc, let me ask you, this is going to pertain, obviously, to a little bit of testosterone. Mm-hmm. As I've read this before, a lot of ED, I mean, if you've got, obviously, molasses running through your veins, I would take it that you're going to have some problems with erection, and obviously this is why we've got Cialis and Viagra and all those goodies out there, right?
Well, you know, those medicines actually started off as anti-Alzheimer's medicines.
Mm-hmm.
They looked at an herb. It's actually a moss from China called Cnidium monnier.
Okay.
And the drug companies figured out, hey, this thing will, you know, create a lot of nitric oxide, it will keep nitric oxide from being destroyed by PDE5,
yep.
And it will open up blood vessels to the brains of Alzheimer's patients, and they won't suffer as much. Well, great.
Yep.
When they were testing it on Alzheimer's patients back in the early 90s, they discovered that it did what it was supposed to do to the brain, but all the male Alzheimer's patients who were taking it were getting huge erections.
Yep.
So they saw dollar bills, and they said, hey, this will work better if we sell it for the other thing than for the Alzheimer's.
Yep.
Now, part of not being able to get an erection is not having the right thinness to the blood in order to fill the corpus cavernosum, the spongy tissue of the penis.
Yep.
And part of it is the fact that after 40, 45, men make an awful lot of PDE5, which is a little enzyme that destroys nitric oxide. Now, nitric oxide is important for weightlifters. It's important for bodybuilders. It's important for runners. It's important for anyone who wants good brain function, because nitric oxide is what causes vasodilation. If you're making a ton of stuff, and this is part of our planned obsolescence, we weren't meant to live past, God knows what, 120, but most of us aren't living past 70. If we make a lot of nitric oxide, then we will be shutting down our blood vessels, because our blood won't be able to get everywhere, because the blood gas we need to dilate the little tiny ones at the ends, at the surface of the skin, in the brain, in the penis, in the clitoris, in the vaginal wall, they can't get the blood. So women get extremely dry. Women get clitorises that can't engorge anymore. Men can't get erections. And everyone's walking around stupid because there ain't no blood getting to our brains.
Right.
The more we fight the PDE5, the better off we are, and the richer with nitric oxide we are. Nitric oxide has a half-life of about 30 seconds. If we fight the PDE5, nitric oxide can have a half-life of 3 minutes.
Wow.
So we can dramatically increase the amount of time that our nitric oxide is in our bodies, and the benefits that NO has, simply by taking an herb like Cnidium monnier. And honestly, I don't think askance of the pro-erection drugs. They have their place. Pro-erection herbs are better, but every time someone comes out with a really good product, Eli Lilly, who makes Cialis, chases after them saying, oh, it's got Cialis in it. And you know, since they're all based on Cnidium monnier, I do an analysis of it, I'll find the same stuff. But it's Lily that stole the stuff from the herbalist, not the other way around.
Right, right. Well, let's I mean, enzymes, I mean, obviously are a big player. You know, I know that you've changed yours, and you don't have to take as many. Why don't you? I mean, I want you to talk about your stuff too, because you're a big player out there. I know you're a big man on maca too, and you've changed that where you didn't have to. Because I was taking that stuff with you from the beginning, and you've made some formulation changes. So why don't you hit upon that for everybody that's real interested in what we're talking about here?
I have probably more old jock injuries than just about anyone else that I know of. I have taken care and rehabilitated professional and Olympic athletes who weren't as beat up as I was. And maybe and maybe that's a function of my not having been such a good athlete. But you know, I was taking way back when I first got introduced to systemic enzymes, I was taking 60 to 80 pills a day of the first product I was introduced to, because I was that much of a broken down, hurting puppy.
Yep.
Then, of the second product that I endorsed, I was taking 30 to 40 capsules of those a day, and that was just too much. I also looked at the price point. These things were 160 to 200 bucks a bottle, and that's just ridiculous. And I knew what the prices were hiked up to, because I had gone to Germany. I'd studied with the enzyme making company. The enzymes were $8 when they put 800 of them in a bottle, and they put as soon as they put them in a bottle, they were $16. When they put the label on the bottle, it was $32. When they put the cap on the bottle, it was $64. Every procedure they did doubled the price of the bottle, because they had to pay for the salesman, they had to pay for the middleman, they had to pay. Actually, the company that made it, that bottled the stuff, made the least amount of money. It was the middlemen, the distributors, who were getting most of the cash from selling the product.
Yep.
So remembering that we could put more enzymes into a product, and this takes me back to a story. I asked the fellow who owned the enzyme company in Germany. I said, Dr. So-and-so, could you possibly make the enzyme stronger? And he said, yeah, but then we wouldn't sell as many pills. And I can dig that. I can understand where you're coming from. Every business wants to stay in business.
Yeah.
But I thought that if we did things differently, if we made the most kick-ass systemic enzyme around, and then if we put it at a price point that folks could afford by completely eliminating the middlemen and all the salespeople and everybody in between, then we could have not only the most powerful systemic enzyme, but one of the most affordable. So we set about making a product that I could take 10 or less of a day. At that same time, God put me right in front of the fellow who used to be the lead pharmacologist for that company in Germany when it first started back in 1959.
Yep.
And we got together and we created Zymessence.
Nice.
Since then, we have improved the product twice. Mm-hmm. And I take 3 to 6 of mine a day instead of 60 to 80 pills or 30 to 40 capsules. I take 3 to 6 a day, and it more than suffices for all of my owies. And if I told you what my owies were, you'd be surprised, because honestly, if I wasn't on the enzymes, mine or anybody else's, I would be in a wheelchair right now.
Yeah, yeah. No, I believe it, because you can't, you know, injuries culminate in a long period. And, that's a nice thing about, like, talking to you and having experience with this stuff. When you're starting kids out, say, at 13 or 14 that want to weight train, and who knows, maybe they go and do something with it, maybe they just stay fit the rest of their life. These are things you can, you know, give them and tell them, look, you start this now, and you're not going to be all crippled up by the time you're 40 years old, all right? And it's even earlier than that. We know the beating. I mean, they got these gymnasts. I'll tell you one thing. I think CrossFit is going to be the killer of all of them, because my theory with this is this. They have a lot of success. I mean, I know there's older people in it, but I always came up with the idea the success rate would always be probably anywhere from mid-teens to 30, and if you tried it any more after that, you'd probably be shattered in pieces, because a lot of that stuff is just way too much to what I believe in with training. Some people, is there one that might stand out? Yeah, that's good. But that doesn't matter. So with the enzymes, obviously we know what they can do as far as just breaking down garbage in your veins. Obviously, that's a big thing. You've got systemic enzymes now, obviously, and they're fantastic. How do we usher that right into, well, now if we've got pretty good arteries, obviously, we can start building testosterone. It flows now. Well, how do we want to just kind of, let's segue right into that, it, Doc.
You know, one of the things that God has allowed to happen to me, my mentor in naturopathic medicine, Dr. Charles W. Turner, God rest his soul, told me that there's something called healer's disease, that folks who are really dedicated to healing will get the worst possible case of anything they ever get, so that when they find the cure that works for them, just maybe, mm-hmm. maybe just marginally works for them, it'll work just dandy for everybody else. Mm-hmm. And within a short time of his telling me about that, I started coming down with stuff. You name it, I've had it. Three herniated discs, five cervical fractures, thoracic fractures that haven't healed, two torn up knees, two torn up shoulders. Most of it was from gymnastics, martial arts. Some of it was from skydiving. Some of it was just plain old stupid stuff. But regardless, everything goes into weaken the body. And when the body gets weaker, you become estrogen dominant. You know, mm-hmm. one of the things that the people who always say, oh, if you really exercise hard, it'll build up your testosterone, only momentarily. Mm-hmm. What happens in the long term, and we know this from studying troops and Olympic athletes, is that any long term, really draining kind of training, whether it's war, whether it's physical training, calisthenics, weightlifting, anything, will eventually make you estrogen dominant and mm-hmm. will tire your adrenals. And the more your adrenals tire, the more estrogen dominant you get.
Yeah.
So in order to fight that off for both athletes and for laymen, because every guy over the age of 40 has more estrogen in him than his wife does,
yep.
then we started looking at what are the premier testosterone builders around. And we didn't want to find something that was three or four steps away from being testosterone, like DHEA and pregnenolone. We wanted something that was one step away from being testosterone, so that we could ensure that if we put the right biological marker in there, if we found a product that had a plant sterol that was one step away from being testosterone, and then we mixed it with another plant that had a lot of potential for making luteinizing hormone, or that had the plant equivalent of luteinizing hormone, that would turn your testicles on. It would tell your testicles, hey, take this stuff, do this conversion, and bang, you've got testosterone. Yep. We put those things together. Maca is one of the only plants in the world that is one step away from being testosterone. Now, mm-hmm. we took, 3 to 6 tablespoons of raw maca powder for years.
Yep.
And I got so sick and tired of it, because I knew that 97-98% of maca is actually fiber and sugar, but I was taking the whole deal just to get the little bit of plant sterols.
Yeah.
The maca extracts that were available up until recently, up until the last, let's say the last 10 years, were all very weak and had the plant sterols chemically removed. What the hell good is that?
Yeah.
So we found a French company that is actually a pharmaceutical company that takes the maca and makes a product, an extract, that is full strength. It's like mm-hmm. 18-20x. And in France, they sell it as a drug. You need a prescription for this stuff.
Wow.
We buy it by the barrel load. We mix it with ashwagandha. We put a couple of other things in there to improve absorption and to stabilize it. And bingo, we created our Andean Essence Max. And now one capsule is roughly equal to more than one tablespoon of raw maca.
Right. If you're – all right, so let's say we're talking athletes now, all right? And obviously with testosterone, obviously is it always the free that you're really looking at?
Yes.
When you're – okay. What I mean, as far as what you have, obviously, how would you set an athlete up if you wanted to work with somebody? You know, because I'm just looking at, I'll use me for an example. You know what I'm going back over to do? Obviously, I could tell you what I'm taking, what I'm not taking. But if we had to just sit down, you and I, and say, all right, this is the goal for this month, this month, this month. I want to leave in late August, early September. I want to be at my peak, obviously. I mean, I can always – you can't do it in New York State, but you could always do a saliva test and we could look at everything. What would be the best direction you would advise to do something like that?
Well, you know, you'd have to periodize your workout, but that's yep. that's separate.
Yep.
Then you'd probably just very, very simply – I'd have you taking three maca capsules three times a day, a
yep.
couple of Enkindle capsules to make sure that you get a lot more luteinizing hormone, because the Enkindle has herbs that have luteinizing hormone and that have dopamine naturally occurring in them, just to
yep.
absolutely make sure that you're getting the stuff you need. Every 2 months or so, I tell you to take a week off of all the
yep.
supplements
yep.
and just... stay at that. Now, this is an extreme example, but just last week I got an email from a fellow who wanted to tell me what his experiences with our products were. And
mm-hmm.
he had gotten a blood test for testosterone before using our products. His total T was 180-something, which is, about
yeah.
equivalent to a 60-year-old guy. He's only in
yep.
his 30s or so.
Yep.
So he obviously had some problems. And then he started using the anti-anestesis. Now, folks, this probably won't happen to you. This is probably an extreme case. But when he tested again, his total
yeah.
testosterone was 800.
Holy God! Holy what?
No. This is an extreme case. This, I mean, I wish this would happen to everybody. Hell, I wish it would happen to me. But, you know, it works, and in some folks it works exceptionally well, and in other folks it just works okay.
Talk about walking strong, huh?
Holy cow. And he could tell the difference.
Hell yeah. I mean, that's like somebody lighting you on fire, man. If you don't feel that, something's off with you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously, you know, men are testosterone is so big now, and obviously everybody's got a new supplement. You know, a lot of people are torn. They don't know what to do. But I'll tell you right now, you know, the four things between the enzymes alone and obviously maca and Enkindle and was that, did I pronounce that right, Doc?
Yeah.
Is that right? And, I didn't write the Andy. Was it Andy Essence?
Andean Essence.
I mean, if you went on something like that, I would think that you might be able to wear Superman's cape if it worked for you.
Hopefully, yeah.
Just don't
jump off the buildings.
Yeah, because unless you're like Spider-Man and you can shoot the web, I think you're going to have a problem when
yeah.
you hit below. We're getting near the end of the show, obviously, but obviously I'm a big fan of yours. We've known each other for a while. And what I want to say is, if some of the listeners did call or they had questions, would you be able to deal with that? Or are you too busy at this time to get into that? Because I'm going to end up probably getting some emails, which I can forward to you anyways, but would you work with any of these guys or gals?
Gosh, yeah. You know, the best way
okay.
to contact me, I can be anywhere of four different places
okay.
for 23 to 46 miles apart any given day.
The okay. Best, well, yeah, I know.
Email, drwong at drwong.us. Dr. Wong at drwong.us.
Okay, beautiful. Because, you know, I want to have you on because I want to get more into this testosterone more and there's a ton of other stuff that I'd like to talk to you about. One thing I like about with you especially, anytime I hear anybody that's got a show on testosterone or, you know, obviously, you know, you're talking about building the body and things like that, I always like to tune in and listen to them and see what they're saying. I mean, I don't have all that you've got, but I got a pretty good background with that stuff, and I, you know, obviously as a weightlifter, you're very familiar with that, and as a man too. I mean, if you don't have testosterone rolling around you or low amounts, you aren't going to be too good out there in the field. And to me, you know, it might sound shallow, but I live for that. I live to be a man. I love being a man. I like having a deep voice. I like being able to shave, you know. I like going out and slinging rocks and throwing steel around. And, you know, and you know what I like more than anything, Doc? And it's not ego either. I don't mind being a go-to guy for people.
Exactly.
I like people. I like when people come and seek me out.
Right.
And even strangers, you know. Could you help me with this? Sure, no problem. Now, do they know what I do? Probably not. But maybe there is an aura that I'm giving off where they're like, I know I can ask this gentleman and he can help me out. So
you're exactly right. It is an aura. None of those beta males will ever build a woman's nest. None of those beta males will be satisfied with the testosterone rush.
They
will never even know what a testosterone rush is because they're so laden with estrogen, they're too busy picking their lipstick colors.
Well, don't forget, they got to put their lipstick and makeup on in the car, obviously, when they're driving, and they're not looking at the road, they're looking in their damn mirror. I love that, man. I was like, I like to get out of the car and just throw you out, or just flip your damn car over with you in it. How stupid, you know what I mean? You see them, they're 55, 60 miles an hour, and they're putting damn makeup on in a mirror. I'm like, holy God, what the hell's happening?
Just back up and get away from
them. It's like that. Well, look, before we go, obviously, I'd like you to give your information, obviously the website, because your website is fabulous since you've done it over. Once again, another thing very easy to navigate through. I've done business with Dr. Wong and his wife for years. Let me tell you something. When you order, you're not waiting 2 weeks for stuff. They, you know, them and like John Wood and a few of the other people on this show, and I'm sure they're all like it with businesses. I have a company, Mass, that does some work with us with Rob Regish. These people are exceptional, man. When you order stuff, not only is your information safe, the delivery is super, and the service, I'm telling you, very lucky. So if you would give any of that information out, I'll give mine, and then I'll talk to you for a minute offline, and hopefully we can do another show when you're ready.
Very good. Let me send everyone to the best lecture on systemic enzymes that I've ever done. It's at drwongradio.com, drwongradio.com, and the lecture is titled Fighting the Things Most Likely to Kill Us. I cover enzymes much better than I did today. Today was rather haphazard. I apologize for that. But you will get an education on what systemic enzymes are. They've had a 60-year history now in German and Central European medicine. They're fairly new in the United States, maybe been here about 20 years. And you will get to understand why systemic enzymes are more important to take than vitamins, minerals, or anything else. Everything needs to be built on top of the systemic enzymes. Again, the website is drwongradio.com. Our sales site is docsprefer.com. Please come and take a look at our supplements. And our article site is drwong.us, drwong.us. We have articles there, about 60 of them, on everything from gals' issues, guys' issues, to general health.
Yeah, I've read them all. I'll tell you right now, you go out and listen to his podcasts, even the old, I mean, he's got everything out there. I mean, I've taken afternoons listening to his stuff. Very interesting gentleman. I'm very pleased that you've come on this show. I've told you it's an honor. I mean that wholeheartedly. And I can tell you one thing. I'm a big fan of yours because you don't pull any shit. And the thing is, you know your material, and you're just damn interesting to listening to. I'm very happy. I got to tell you. So I'm going to give you our information. This is Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We're sponsored by U.S. Wellness Meats and Saugerties Chiropractic. I gave you the information in the beginning of the show. Please go out and look at these people and patronize them. They are fabulous. Also, Dr. Wong gave you docsprefer.com. Go out and take a look at his site. I'm telling you, you will have no trouble. We want these people on, and we hope that, you know, our listeners will go out and at least look. And if you give these folks business, it's even better because, you know, they need to make a living like all of us. Secondly, the websites are www.fiorellobarbellco.com, www.motivationmuscle.com. And don't forget the banner on Motivation and Muscle where how to become a champion. This is a free webinar on Wednesday. I believe that is the 26th, too, if I'm not mistaken. Let me verify. Yes, that is. Well, it's the 26th. That's correct. This is, like I said, this is a lot different than anything you've ever seen out there. I made this specifically not only for we want to get Dennis real healthy, as he was pre-diabetic and depressed, but I'll tell you another thing. It's something that you don't have to go and spend $1,000 a year at a gym. If you choose to buy a barbell set, that's not going to cost you $1,000. And obviously, we'll be talking more about how I'll help any of you with it. We want to see everybody get healthy. And here's the deal. Remember this. When you start feeling better, you're going to have more confidence. You're going to be able to do more things. And you know what the nice thing is? Bring your kids in with it. You know, do it as a family if you want. You can do these movements very easy on the joints, ligaments, and tendons, especially if you've been out of it for, say, 20 years. There's no reason why you can't get better, and we're here to help you with that. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. If you like this show, and there's nothing not to like, if you like us, you know, go out and write a review. You know, tell us whether you like us or not. Got turtle shells for skin. And obviously, if you would like us to do a show, Dr. Wong and myself, once again, send that to Fiorella Barbell at NICAP.RR.com. The websites, obviously, on Facebook is Fiorella Barbell, Motivation and Muscle, and I'm on Twitter at Fiorello Eric. So, Dr. Wong, thank you, sir, so much for coming on. I totally enjoyed this.
Thank you for having me on. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for the invite.
No, it's not a big deal. I'd have you on constantly. So, for Dr. Wong, this is Eric Fiorello. I want to thank you for listening to this show. I hope to get Dr. Wong on again as soon as I can because he's just a fun guy to talk to. So, have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.